AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Number one cuckboy. Number one good luck boy. Number one Andrew Luck sucks boy. Boy! Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give us a shout-out. Yep, that's him licking his paws post-vomit. He just vomited on the couch in between my two lovely guests joining me in the High and Mighty Studios for the first time. Probably one of the more requested guests over here since you guys are popping off in the podcast world now. Guys, put your virtual hands to, I know everyone who listens to this podcast is handless and only has virtual, like, existence hands. Put your hands together for Zach Reno and Jess McKenna.
Whoa, was existence hands like an off-the-cuff pun about existential but also extending your hands?
There is... Okay, Jess, this is why I love you. You give me way more credit. Existence is like a terrible, like, 90s action sci-fi movie about, like, loosely about virtual reality, as far as I even remember it. That being said, yes, what you asked me was true.
Do I have hands? What are hands? Are these hands...
Existential hand crisis. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I don't have hands. But you do. But do I?
Does anyone?
You show me a person with hands and I'll show you a liar.
Don't we just have feet on arms?
Yeah, you tell me. Ask a dog if we have hands. What would they say?
Whoa.
Well, to be fair, sir, they would not respond. Guys, whoops, I just have X videos open here in the background. That must have been from like weeks ago. I mean, I know it's been from weeks ago. All right. What am I looking for here? Oh, iTunes.
All right, guys. As always, I read some 5-star reviews of my podcast. And if you're a listener, you know, if you rate me 5 stars, I will read whatever you put in the comments. So often there are roasts about me. So roast my ass and rate me 5 stars. It's the most desperate 5-star grab in the biz. All right. This is from Jerpow999. Title of the review is 5 stars. And the review is John Gahabras isn't great at this. Okay, you know, that's the roasts usually take on like a sort of fantastical element of like how gross or whatever I am, but that one is just one of the more realistic things.
I feel like that one's trying to be a rhyme.
Oh, yeah. Well, then fuck this guy. Slanted rhyme? You guys are the hip-hop experts.
Also, like, is there a slash so that we know that we're dealing with lines here, you know?
Yeah. Come on, guy. Fair enough. Yeah, you got to at least hit,
scan this out.
Hit a shift-enter so I know that it's a couplet.
Come on now.
Write it like a fucking stanza, bro. All right, this next one's called, is a smiley face, is the title of the review, by Transparent Things. The title is, despite being a podcast, I can tell Gabra smells like rancid jism. Gross.
This person who can't decide whether they love Netflix or Amazon shows more.
Yeah, Transparent Things. That's like their pitch that they've been trying to get out there. They're like kids, but they're trans and they're in the upside down. Yeah. But to them, it's the right side up. You're like, wait, what?
I would watch that show.
Yeah. I mean, sign me up.
I think like 80% of the people who watch, like the Venn diagram people watch Transparent and Stranger Things would watch Transparent Things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Unless Transparent Things is just like
mirror,
a show about saran wrap.
Things you can see.
Mirrors are almost transparent.
You can't see through a mirror.
I mean, one-way mirrors.
Yep.
One-way mirrors, true. From one side.
Wait, what the hell is that? Hold on.
No. Opaque means you can't see through
it. Yes, you can't see through a mirror.
If you're in like lockdown and there's like a cop looking in at you, but it's a mirror from one side, but the other side it's not. What's that called?
I think you called it a one-way mirror. I think that's correct.
That's right. It is a one-way mirror.
But it's
not a one-sided mirror. That's like
most mirrors. Most mirrors you look at are just on one side.
But I think it's mirrored. It's still mirrored on the side that you can't see through. So, yeah, I just was speaking too soon. You can't see through a mirror. You can only see yourself in a mirror.
That's true.
Well, you can see other things in the mirror, too.
Can you?
I don't have hands. All right, this is... I don't know if I... Oh, wait, I read this one already. Here's one. This is from Laser Axe. The only thing that gets me down, 5 stars. I suffer from what doctors are calling chronic horniness. Listening to groin labias go on and on about sandwiches in New Jersey is the only thing that stops the constant horniness. Thank you, Fawn Grabass, for making the world a less horny place. Never miss an ep, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was very... That's on it. I could see that. I'm a sort of an antidote to horniness. Because when you listen, you fucking go to completion.
Then it's done.
In the last minute, I've said gone to completion and accidentally pulled up a incognito browser window with pornography on it. I'm starting to feel like I might be on a Facebook secret Facebook group. I'm going to be reported. There's going to be a Hollywood Reporter expose about me. Don't do High and Mighty Podcast.
How often are you talking about New Jersey?
That's annoying because that's like a double dig.
Yeah.
I never talk about New Jersey.
Yeah.
But what people like to do is confuse New Jersey and Long Island.
Oof.
And that upsets me. To know. Because
it's a covert burn.
It's a covert burn. Yeah. He's like, look, I'm making a mistake, but the mistake twists the knife.
Oof.
Well. Fuck these people. Fuck all these people. As always, listeners of shitheads, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read them on air. And now, enough about me. Let me inject myself into you guys trying to speak. Almost all my reviews are like, this mouth breather doesn't let his guest talk, laughs at his own jokes, and that shit doesn't... That's just a positive... That's like a actual accurate review.
That's just how you fill space on a podcast.
That's just how I... And interact with humans on a general. Was talking relentlessly to the lady at the Grove today. I went to the Apple store to get my phone fixed, and she was like, okay. And I'm like, just doing shtick and like going on and on. And she's like, we'll get your phone fixed. I was like, yeah, $250. Jesus Christ, what am I trying to? And she's like, I'm just becoming like the worst uncle you have at a party.
People don't understand how much dead space could be in a podcast, though.
Right. You mean how much is allowed to be in a podcast?
No, should not be allowed in a podcast.
But does exist, and so they should be appreciative of how just chock-a-block your eps are.
Yeah, like I could find you some real good podcasts that have way too much empty space in them, and you would feel it hard.
Like, let's compare word count. I think, like, yours...
Oh, that's really fun. Yeah, mine would be, like, a drill sergeant's rant. Of
yes,
just like, yeah.
Dense.
Dense word count. Yeah, like, I'm sure podcasts with more people than I have on my podcast would have a lower word count than my podcast.
Too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've already talked unbroken for 9 minutes, and you guys are the guests.
You're the Usain Bolt of podcasts.
I am.
The fastest mouth in the game.
I'm like the Micro Machines guy. We can't even transcribe it. Also, none of it matters. That's the hard part about my podcast, too, is I fill it. But you leave, it's like Chinese food. You always feel like starving after.
I always have this thing on planes where I feel really good once the cars look like Micro Machines.
Yeah, you
like,
feel really good.
Because you're like sure that, okay, we're in the air.
Oh, no.
Landing. We're coming back down.
Coming back down. You know, you're super, super high and everything's just dots and you can just see freeways and mountains.
The second
and then,
they're
like,
Micro Machine size, you're like, we could survive if we crash from
yep,
here.
Yep, exactly.
That's a very interesting point of view.
I mean, you're great when they're Hot Wheels size, but even once they're Micro Machine size, you're like, okay, this is fine.
Zach, how often do you think about the plane crashing when you're on it?
Oh, I'd say 100% of the time.
Just the whole time?
No, not the whole time, but I'd say 100% of the time I have been on a plane, the idea of a plane crash has crossed my mind.
Really? At least once?
Yeah.
Yeah, on everything.
Just for a moment to be like, oh, what if this is the one? Or
I
whatever.
Only I only think about it when something weird is, you know what I mean? Like I only think about it like the handful of times, I fly a lot, the handful of times I've like had to poop on a plane is when I think about the plane crashing. I'm like, this is of course when the plane is going to go down when I'm in the fucking toilet.
You should know that is 100% how you're going to die.
Well, look, my psychic, my parents, and my doctor have all said I will die on the toilet. I just
toilet
don't think they
a,
think it's in an airplane.
Of a
toilet.
Jet
yeah, plane. I'm going to add that addendum. I am 100% confident. Now, I mean, I think...
We're going to land safely and I would have had a heart attack.
Not from the crash.
Yeah, he ate 3 Delta burgers in one flight, almost blew his head.
I was on a plane once where they were like just talking about regular turbulence, and then the flight attendant was like, and as a reminder, should there be an emergency, don't go for bags. And I was like, that's not a normal...
No.
That is not a normal
thing
to say.
That's really upsetting.
And so I just like watched them with my like stomach in knots.
Oh my God. I always
look to the flight attendants and I'm like, oh, they're chill. Like, and I've talked to a pilot before who's like, you shouldn't be afraid. Turbulence is truly nothing to be afraid of.
So
I'm not really a nervous flyer, but that's a stay over from being a kid flying. It's like, oh, once they're Micro Machines, we good.
I should clarify. I'm also not a nervous flyer. I have been on a plane where the engine caught fire when we landed when I was very young and we got to evacuate on those like inflatable slide things and go down the...
Oh,
that's crazy.
Whatever. But I'm not like... I'm not afraid of flying, but like I think it's like that thing when you're in a car and you're at I'm gonna say a totally insane thing. And people are like,
as if it's a normal thing.
You know that thing where you're sitting in your car and like someone goes in the crosswalk, and it will just like occur to me that like your car is a weapon and you could so easily destroy the life of the person.
I think about that like any time like there's like a woman or a person, a woman or a person, two separate things. one's an object.
Yes, all people, some of them are women.
Like is walking a dog in front of the car and like you see the leash but not the dog and all of a sudden, like your foot's on the brake and everything like, but you're like, what? One miss slip up and like I
and that dog
and
is under
the
my
dog's
car.
Gone and like I'm like gotta look the owner in the eyes while I run their dog like too much and the owner's a woman, I don't want to look a woman in the eyes because they're not people, you
know, we have magic. What?
No, so I knew it. Shit, I knew it. That's why there's all those songs in the 50s that are about magic, because they like started to discover the female
and then we had to lock it down. We were like, we're into pop music now, they're on to us.
Which is kind of just like, I never thought about it this way, but like anytime there's a song of a dude is like, she cast a spell on me, it's just kind of like a fucked up way of a dude saying like, I wasn't in control, man. I'm not
responsible for my actions, my activities,
witches.
My words.
Wait a second. I started to care about the needs and wants of someone else. It must be witchcraft.
Surely a curse has been placed upon me.
She's charmed me.
Get me out of here.
Like you say that about like your daughter or your son. Like you have a kid, you're like, I love this kid so much. They're fucking with me somehow. And it's okay to feel for other people.
Yes, exactly.
And what a wonderful job there. my aspiring co-host transitions, bringing up magic.
Magic,
a natural transition to our topic. I like getting 15 minutes into a podcast that has a title of what we're talking about and then revealing, like, we'll be talking about Harry Potter. Harold Pottrum. I'd love to accuse you guys of planning that, but I know that that's literally your entire dynamic.
Yeah, I'd say 20% of our conversation is musical.
I'm going to go ahead and start this conversation with the dorkiest fact I can tell you about Zach and I, which is that we often have writers' meetings at the Three Broomsticks in Universal and say to each other when we walk into Hogsmeade, hey, welcome home.
So you guys will go to Universal Studios to hang out, to work?
Yeah. We worked for a production company that was very close to it, so we would just leave our cars there, and we would just walk to Universal Studios, and the only thing that really interests either of us in Universal Studios is Hogsmeade.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, yes.
Tiff and I just went to Hollywood Horror Nights on Saturday night, and she doesn't really like Harry Potter, and as you're about to learn, I loved it. I read all the books, saw all the movies. I really enjoyed it. It's like completely out of my brain at this point. But I was like, this is something I had no desire to go to Universal except for the haunted mazes. But then seeing Harry Potter World kind of, especially because it was closed.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I really want to go to Harry Potter World.
Oh, you got to go.
It's fun.
I mean,
best part of the park.
Get a couple of butter beers.
Yes. I was just going to say, just get a couple of butter beers, get a pumpkin fest, get some of the beers brewed, especially for the Hogshead side.
Yep. They got three. They got...
Wait, they have an actual bar there.
Yes.
Correct. And that's where you guys
Which
work?
Is one thing that Universal does have on Disneyland. Most parts of Disneyland have no alcohol.
Yeah.
Right, and because Moe's serves beer, too.
Everywhere in Universal
$12 serves. Angel City Pilsner from Moe's, just like they serve in Springfield.
I had a Duff Oktoberfest. It was fine. Nice.
Duffman says a lot of things. Duffman used to be my favorite character, and my comedy group got to have dinner with a Simpsons writer in like 2002 or 2003. And I was like, who is your favorite character? And he's like, the characters that can literally do anything. So we love Burns, but we've created these side characters that we're obsessed with. And he's like, big in the writer's room is Duffman. And I was like, yes.
I knew it.
Duffman is thrusting in the general direction. They're like, where's that happening? And he's just like, oh, man. All right, let's get back to Harry Potter. So you guys write. You cannot.
Duffman is definitely a Hufflepuff.
Oh, I was going to put him in Gryffindor.
Oh.
I think you're right. He's on that.
Do you guys sort celebrities and people often?
No. Though I do listen to a podcast called The Sorting Chat where they do sort celebrities and people every week.
That's a very fun premise for a podcast.
It's cool.
Hyper-specific.
It's a good podcast. They need new microphones. But apart from that, it's very
enjoyable. They need someone to fill it with wall-to-wall dialogue?
Yeah, you should go. I think they record out of Philly.
Oh, perfect.
So next time you're there.
I'm doing an East Coast tour of dropping in doing random podcasts.
You're from Philly, right? That's what you're always talking about. You love
cheese steaks.
No!
Soft pretzels.
You're thinking of
Rocky
bagels,
stairs.
Pizza, and the beach. That's what I love. That's all I care for. Jess, one time when we were talking about Harry Potter, you brought up that you were pretty much the age of Harry Potter as the books.
Yes.
He like aged in real time more
or less. Yeah, we got ahead. Zach and I are the same age. We got a little bit ahead of him by the end. But so the last book, he's 17 and we're 20.
But the first book comes out in like when we were what, sixth grade?
Yeah.
He's 13 years old.
Oh.
So for a long time, we were either the same age or only off by a year.
Now, do you find that like your exact year or your generation it has a like, because that's... That's an easy way to get locked into a
I think
content.
That I think the age group that is like 2 years younger and maybe like 2 years above is probably the most.
Is peak Harry Potter.
Peak Harry Potter.
Yeah, because if you were a little bit older, then like the first book was a little below your reading level, but like you read it as an adult. So did my wife. It's like, it's fine. It's a
right.
kid's book.
Yeah.
But it's easy to read. It'll take you, you know, a day.
I think I read the first book in 2004, 2005.
Okay. Yeah, so that's still pretty early.
It was still pretty early, but I was also 24 at that time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so like it's going to be harder for those first two books to like access you. I think a lot of people who were reading it then, by the time you get to the third book, most people are like, okay, then it was like, this is a different thing. And then but for sure by the fourth book, you're dealing with more of like an adult style series that happens to feature kids.
Now, that's really cool. Now, was that like a conscious effort that she was going to... She being J.K. Rowling.
I think it was. I think she wanted the stories to age with Harry, and I think also she was growing in her prowess as a writer.
Yeah,
I mean, that was her first. It's her first novel, really. You know, like, so she's also getting better. The story's getting bigger. There's certain things she had in mind from the beginning, but like the first two stories are a lot more. I mean, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are now very much telling like the bigger, grander story. And you know who Voldemort is in the first book and everything, but it's a contained. 1, 2, and 3 are all like contained mysteries, basically.
Yeah, they're like one-off stories.
Like,
yeah,
they end up mattering. It matters that we understand who Sirius Black is. It matters
that
the
big arc starts later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like sort of just takes, like, you would say 4 through 7 is sort of like a trilogy or quadrology.
I mean, yes.
Also, quadrology is not definitely not it.
Yeah, quadrology.
Yeah.
Also, and as just mentioned earlier, like, Harry is old enough by that time in the books when that kind of thing starts, where he's just like, oh, where, to be fucking, to be like, Joe, I'm Indian, I don't know why, and then like he fucking knows why later on. He is.
I think Luna cast a spell on me because I want to fuck her. That was a weird paragraph.
He definitely does not want to fuck Luna, Gabrus.
Luna takes... is the ghost lady.
No, that's Moni Myrtle.
That's Moni Myrtle. Luna is a Ravenclaw.
Luna Lovegood is like the creep, like she's like a weirdo, right?
Yeah, she's like the dreamy Ravenclaw who is an oddball, but ends up being wise beyond her years. You know, whippy on measure, man's greatest treasure.
Just coding the Ravenclaw section of the Sorting Hat song. Right. You know?
Oh shit! I am so upset. Like, it's so funny how nerdy I am. Like, I play D&D. I read fantasy novels. I loved all the classic nerdy stuff. But the second you start talking about Harry Potter, and it is no different than anything I'm into, I'm like, you guys are fucking dorks. Like, I can't believe how quickly. And here's my angle. As we continue to talk about Harry Potter, it's going to be like I'm like a parent of you guys. You're gonna be like, no, like, just like I did, and Luna is Harry's little girlfriend. You're like, no, all right. And then so it's Hagrid and the Angry Inch. You got no.
Ooh, that would be great. Ooh. That's a mashup.
That's
I'd
a mashup
love to
musical
see.
I would watch.
Yeah. Coming soon to an off-book ep near you.
Yeah,
I mean, truly, come on. And
yeah,
the first one we've decided the title of beforehand.
Yeah.
But I have this theory about Harry Potter for people my age, especially if they were into nerdy shit growing up, because my wife really got into Hunger Games when those books came out too, and I thought that after I read Harry Potter as an adult, and then I read Hunger Games as an adult, and I said, oh, what I think people really love about Harry Potter is that it's a very good story, all that, but it is like entry-level fantasy. It's like the same shit, not entry-level in like anything other than like it's... more mainstream in a way where it's like it appeals to more people. Like, it's to me, it's no different than I read the Cleric's Quintet, you know, like all these weird like high fantasy novels, and it's like that's what it is.
I think you're right. Like, I don't really like, I don't consider myself like a blanket fantasy fan. I don't read any other fantasy except for like The Magicians that Zach recommended to me, but like
Lev Grossman's The Magicians.
That's right.
Very, very good.
But other than that, like, I'm not gobbling up fantasy, and I think that that's true. I think that it has a bigger appeal because it's more of like a character story. It's also like just as much a schoolboy story, just as much like an orphan story, just as much like it isn't. I actually went to my first fall at Northwestern. It was the fall after
I heard Fallout at Northwestern at first, and I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
The first time I kind of like fell out with everyone around. I can only imagine you at rock bottom is such a funny idea.
First time me and Northwestern got in a fight, and I had to like walk around the lake and cool down for a second. My first fall at Northwestern was the fall after the 6th book, Half-Blood Prince, came out. It came out that summer. And, this is the penultimate book, and so now we're like into all these fan theories about how the whole series is going to end, and they had a panel about it at Northwestern that was just like a free fun event that professors spoke at, and they each had like a specialty. Like, someone talked about it as like how Harry Potter is referencing Greek myth, how Harry Potter is referencing Arthurian legend, how Harry Potter is referencing the classic British schoolboy story, what is nominative symbolism, like what
By the
names
way, I'm picturing
mean?
Each professor to be so specifically into that world that it's like, Arthurian legend professor as like a sword and shield.
In armor, yeah. Yeah. But it was.
I'm the British schoolboy professor.
I'm wearing a uniform. Pip pip. Let's go play cricket. They were. That's exactly true. The nominative symbolism person, that was really interesting. Like who like traced a lot of like what the names in Harry Potter mean, or like where they come from, or names of things or people or places.
You said nominative, and I in my head thought numbers. This makes way more sense.
I might be.
No, I don't think you are right.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But this is when people were deciding whether or not Snape was good or bad. That's like the big one of the big questions.
There were
all
these stickers and buttons. We're like, Snape is a good guy. Snape is a bad guy. They're giving out for free at bookstores.
Yeah,
which one you thought was going on?
And could you? Can't you still have that argument about Snape after the fact?
No, absolutely not.
Well, you can't. You can
like,
say
even
like,
after the book has ended, you're like, you know what he's done. You're like, he maybe was still a bad guy.
Yes, I think you know what side he's on, but you can talk about what his like morality is.
For sure, Snape is in many ways an asshole, but he is a good human being. He's a flawed human being.
I don't even know that he's that good.
So what did he end up doing that was the positive thing?
So he was always he did turn away from the evil side. He did like swear allegiance to the good side, but only because he was in love with Harry's mother Lily.
Yeah.
And when he kills Dumbledore, Dumbledore's gonna die anyway because he's cursed his hand earlier that summer.
Yeah.
He knows he only has like a year, and he doesn't want Draco to kill him because he doesn't want to split. He doesn't want Draco to have that on his conscience.
So he kills it so Draco doesn't have to.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that Draco won't be killed by Voldemort. He's like, hey man, if the time comes, you have to kill me. We can't let Draco do it. He's a kid. It'll ruin his life. I'm dying anyway.
Right.
Like if you do it, if you speed it up by a few weeks, who cares? And it'll allow you to still stay a double agent because Voldemort will know that you're on the side of good. So, but he's the only one who knows this. So when Snape kills Dumbledore, it just looks like Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yeah, almost all of the adults in Harry Potter are like fairly complicated, and some of them come out like pretty clean, but it's real murky across the board. The quote at the beginning of, it's either the second to last or I think the last book and of the Harry Potter series, is all about how children spend their entire lives cleaning up the fucking mess the generation before them left for them. Oh. And it's true of like...
Jesus Christ.
It's...
Excuse me, it's just wildly apropos right now.
Yes, yeah. Yes. No, totally. And that was when she was talking about like the Bush era, man.
I know. She had no idea. No. I can't wait to read the Inscription of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Part 5.
Right. Burn it all to the ground.
Burn it all to the fucking ground. Beasts are not fantastic. They're monsters. Run for your fucking life.
We are all beasts.
Yeah.
We are the beasts.
Fight for what
Stay
you have.
In the suitcase.
But... It is wild that they're making 5 of those movies.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. Truly not.
I think sometimes you get a little cart before the horse.
Yeah,
I mean, you get a little money before more money before money, please.
Like King Arthur, I think I've shit on it like 10 times on this podcast. I'm a big Arthurian legend person. And I was even excited that Guy Ritchie and Charlie Hunnam were making a King Arthur story together. Even that, I was like, it's because I'm a nerd. It's like, there's still going to be magic. Swords, shields, horses. I love it. I watched that movie. I was like, what the fuck?
I watched the first 3 minutes of it on a plane, and the sound wasn't working, and that's why I stopped. But like moment one, people are riding on like fucking elephants and throwing fire through like it just got so crazy so fast.
And Arthur is like a bad boy, like a thief, like rogue, like Robin Hood type. And it's like, and he's like, oh, a womanizer. It's like, this is garbage. It made me so mad. And then I was like, so many side characters are introduced and there's so much weight put on random characters. And I thought it was like really dumb. And then I read like a IMDb and it's like, first of 9 planned movies. And I was like, well, that's your problem is that you're like, we got to launch 8 movies off of this one. It's like, make one good movie, then retroactively figure out the spinoff.
That's sort of like the monster, the dark universe.
Dark universe. Yeah. Off of the Mummy new, the came Mummy out reboot. Swinging and you're like, ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Can't wait to watch Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Russell Crowe.
But at that panel, they were talking about, like, they all kind of weighed in at the end about what they thought about Snape. And everyone was like, no, Snape is good. Like, Dumbledore was injured. Like, they did it to save Draco. Like, you know, enough people could, like, surmise that was probably what was happening. And this one teacher was like, no, I think, like, this is, like, our moment of really, like, seeing Dumbledore as, like, a human. And he's flawed, and that when he says Severus, please, he's begging for his life. And I shouted Albus Dumbledore does not beg. Like, could not control myself.
As a freshman?
As a freshman, just blurted out in a lecture hall of a free fun event. Like, Albus Dumbledore does not beg.
That's like cut to five guys like lowering their sunglasses and turning and going,
oh, who's the new guy?
Who's that girl with a backwards hat and a backpack saying, Albus Dumbledore does not beg?
Oh, at 18, I wasn't yet rocking the backwards hat. It was more newsboy caps and Fidel Castro style caps.
No.
Yeah.
You are a wonderful creature. I do not get you. I'm not sure if you can hear that in the background, shitheads, but that is some construction being done on my apartment building. What a wonderful way to wake up on this beautiful morning. Normally, I would be furious that I woke up, but I'm not because I'm cozy. My genitals are exactly the temperature and the location where I want them to be, and that is all because of Mack Weldon underwear. Damn, homie, these Mack undies, these Mack underwears, these Mack pantaloons, Mack Weldon up in this bitch, they work wonders. I love them. Whether it's the air knit, the silver, they're all comfortable. None of them ride. None of the waistbands fold. I can't speak to what a normal sized person would do in these Mack Weldons, but I'll tell you what. As a giant, as a big boy with a waist size that starts with a 4, this shit works, dude. So get, like, the sweatpants are awesome, the wife beaters work, or A-shirts, whatever we call them now, the crew neck tees I wear, I have a V-neck, I have some sweats, I have some boxer shorts for sleep, I have a shit ton, all of my underwear is Mack Weldon, and not just because they advertise on my podcast once every 6 weeks. You guys can tell, they're so rarely on my podcast because they don't want to pay me any more money, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop wearing their stuff. So go to MackWeldon.com, use promo code MIGHTY to get 20% off your order. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MIGHTY.
I think, like, the growing up with Harry is, like, the one of the is a super significant thing to, like, the depth of the connection that you feel to the story. And, like, the fact you had to wait, you know, like, I was at bookstores at midnight to get the book, and it was one of, like, the only times I stayed out that late when I was 15.
Right.
You know, to, like,
and mom, and what I think another thing that this harnessed was, it was fandom that parents could get behind because it was books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you were like me when I was 17, got caught cutting school to buy tickets to The Phantom Menace. It's like, your parents are like, come on. Yeah. You just buy a movie ticket like a normal person.
Yeah.
But then it's like, books is like, yeah, I would be, if my kid was like, can we please go to the bookstore at midnight? I'd be like, yeah, I mean, of course.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Please, let's go to the bookstore.
And
also,
God, this is what you're into.
Let me throw you a bone because I feel like the world is going to destroy you.
Let's help you escape into a fantasy world as frequently as possible.
I will say, I think part of the reason that it got as popular, well, two reasons, that it got as popular as it did is, one, J.K. Rowling is better at building fantasy worlds than a lot of very, very, very well-renowned, like, fantasy authors.
100%. The world of Hogwarts and the world of their magic world is,
it's
like,
great.
So clearly defined.
And it's open enough, especially when you're, like, a kid, you, like, can imagine yourself in it. It's very much, like, wish fulfillment.
Right.
But it's also not defined enough that you get to kind of, like, fill in the blanks on your own, which is really useful in a way that, like, Lord of the Rings fucking spells out for you everyone's great-grandparents and what this forest was before it was a forest,
right,
in a way that, like, no one cares about.
Yeah, no, I read, like, 8 books of The Wheel of Time, and these characters are all have, like, budding powers and budding magical skills that they're pushing off, and I'm like, this is so the wrong pace for a fantasy like that.
And I think part of it is just that she's a good author. And
She's a great author. That's, like, a given. Those are good books. The world building is insane, and it is, like, it's a school, so you can slot yourself in as a child reader. You know what I mean? One of my favorite fantasy novels, The King Killer Chronicles, is, have you read that?
Yep.
That's sort of, like, it takes place at a magic school and stuff like
it
that
does.
For at least, like, one of the books. And it's really fucking cool, and you're like, holy shit, the world. But it still feels like, having read Harry Potter before this, I was like, oh, this feels like Harry Potter's trying to be edgy.
It does, because he goes off and sleeps with people.
Right.
And that's
my big complaint is, how come Harry ain't fucking?
Yeah. That's how the magicians
is kind of like that too.
Because it is like, I have it up here too. I haven't read it yet, but Someone told me that's like the older Harry Potter.
And so
like,
here's the cool thing about, sorry.
I was going to say they call out that Harry Potter exists in their world.
The cool thing about Magicians is that the Magicians takes place in our world where like all of our fantasy exists. And it's like a book that someone has read. But the real thing, the real school that you go to is like kind of fucking hard work. And so the kid that gets like tapped to go to this school is like, this isn't what I thought it would be. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Right,
like
right,
the first part of the book is like, isn't what I thought it would be. And he gets like super depressed, is super depressed from the jump. But like realizing that he is a magician is not the solution to his problems that he thought it would be. It's like the opening to a whole new set of like fucking magical problems. And that book asks questions like, if you had magic and if you could make anything that you needed, what would you do all day, every day? And like a lot of the adults in that book in particular, like their marriages fall apart. They get like fucking depressed. And
so awesome.
Because they don't need anything. So they just like, they go crazy. They get depressed and they go crazy.
Yeah. DC, former guest DC Pearson has a book called Crap Kingdom. And the premise is like, sort of like the suck you into another world where you're the chosen one, but the world sucks. And the guy's like, I don't want to do it. And so he leaves. And then like a friend of his gets tapped as like the chosen one. And then he's jealous. And he's like jealous of the friend who's got the like, even though it's like the shittiest world where it's like, this is kind of lame, but the other kid is so happy to be a chosen one. And it's like a really, like, I love like that, turning that on its head. Who are some of like the characters? Cause I loved reading Harry Potter cause the characters are very easy to parse as well.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of times in fantasy, you have to be like, okay, is Perrin the wolf one, or is, you know?
It's just so much more character driven. Like when I tried to read Lord of the Rings, I was like, what? Who? Why? Why do I care about these people?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is like 60%. It's like 60% like
walking
a historical text.
Yeah,
it does feel like what it is, which is a guy telling a bedtime story to his kids and then like writing it down later. Yeah. And, like, I mean, like, what the fuck did I say last week?
I can tell it's cool. I just was like, this is not for me. I love Harry Potter because of like the people. I mean,
it would be like if Harry Potter, the first book was 1,000 pages of the building of Hogwarts.
Yes.
like the contractors
Which,
and shit.
Where I mean, I would read a prequel about the founders, but
there's gotta be brewing up. The prequel has to be. I mean, Fantastic Beasts is sort of a prequel,
yeah,
but Hogwarts exists in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pottermore fills out some, but not all of that stuff.
What's Pottermore?
Pottermore is the, for lack of a better term, official Harry Potter like web presence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like you can get sorted there. J.K. Rowling writes a bunch of like
additional texts,
like one-off little stories.
Well, sometimes it's stuff like, here's all the wand woods,
and here's
and
what
they're
mean.
Like, and I eat that shit up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't get enough.
Like, I could not get myself excited to read that, but you are like, I know what you're saying.
But that's the D&D part of me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the D&D shit.
Exactly.
Where I would,
like, I could totally wrap my head around that. I'm like, wait a minute, what types of ice magic can you do?
Yes.
And I'll read the whole, I love that part. Yeah. But like for Harry Potter specifically, like that's what I'm saying. It's funny that I would go, that sounds awful, but it's literally what I'm doing. I grew up just like reading the saving throws charts in like D&D books.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know like what, when you roll like 2d10 to cast like wild magic, what's all the shit
yeah,
that
what's
go
the
down?
Possibilities yeah.
And then now there's one of those moments for me where I'm talking about shouting as a college student and I just hear D&D stuff. I'm like, you guys are nerds,
right? Exactly. It's so funny how, and it's really funny how quickly like even amongst nerds like walls are built up, like, and even amongst like losers there's like a hierarchy of losers.
People
like
are protective of their nerd kingdoms.
Oh,
and
hell,
like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think where I draw the line, because for me, I don't even think that like, oh, that's nerdy. It's just stuff that I'm like not interested in, because I am objectively interested in all of the nerdiest stuff that
you could be.
I just like never played Magic the Gathering and don't understand it, and it was too complicated, so like I don't give a shit about it.
Yeah.
But it is like it's not.
But here's my question. You guys are a little bit younger. Did you play Pokemon?
Didn't play, but collected.
Yeah, collected. I like missed Pokemon by like 2 years, but all of us nerds were like, Pokemon is it wasn't too nerdy, but it was too childish for us. Right, exactly. Well, that's what we thought. And we were playing Magic the Gathering going, look at these fucking losers with
Magic
Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Because the pictures on Magic the Gathering are like, it's like a fucking lich, like pulling someone's soul out of their face.
Yeah.
Pokemon is like, Bulbasaur is like,
Charmander
is like a little cute hippo dude with a leaf growing out of his back. Like,
I will cop to eating Burger King Happy Meals two for lunch every day for maybe all of senior year, because that's when Burger King was giving out Pokeballs with different Pokemon inside. Oh. And we were trying to collect them all.
You gotta collect
gotta
them
catch
all.
Them all.
Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon Go.
That's what I know about it, is that you gotta catch them all.
That's like the main thing. What a marketing genius idea. It's like, let's create something and then let's also make a TV show about how badly you need to have all of it.
Yes.
So here's the thing. It's still going.
I know.
The TV show still exists. They're continually doing new iterations of it. The games are still coming out. My cousins today are just as into it as I was, except that when I was a kid, there was like, there were 150. Now right. there's 900.
Yeah, they're like, are you playing Pokemon Silver, Gold? It's right. like D&D Volume 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm so far, my eldest niece, I like gave her Sorcerer's Stone for like her, I don't know, too young of a birthday, seventh maybe. And
like, read this. It yeah, changed my life.
Exactly. And she's not really that into it. It's just fine. I mean, she still could get into it. She's nine now.
Yeah, so she, 4 years.
She could still get into yeah. it. But she has friends who've like read them all, and like I know like other kids who, it's just so weird to know that they can read them all and they can be reading book seven when they're like nine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that book is like kind of intense.
Deals
I think
with death and
like there's
with-
I mean yeah there's like death from four on, but you're like,
I don't know that I would have liked it when I was
exactly
nine.
Like I mean right you definitely been, like, are missing some of the complexity yeah. even if you're a smart good reader
yeah.
you're not understanding, like that's not hitting you on all of the levels that like freaking Narcissa Malfoy saves his life because she wants to know that Draco's still alive. Like the yeah. like that mother's bond in that moment that she would lie about Harry being alive in the forest.
Because to a 9 year old, you're like, that's just a bad guy. That's
yeah,
a bad
yeah,
guy.
That's
and
a
it
bad
will
lady.
Be.
Yeah, like yeah. you know, the like all of the gray of the characters that like everyone has gray except for Voldemort. You know, like, and even him, they do a good job of like, hey, here's some of the reasons why, if you grew up as an orphan and noticed that you could punish people and steal their shit and like right. talk to snakes, you'd probably be a little messed up.
You'd be an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, so, I mean, they do such a good job with all of that. I have like, if I have kids, I'm like, I'm going to be such a freak about controlling their
Harry Potter.
Because I want them to have as close to what I had as possible, but they can't. They yeah. won't, because they're not going to be part of the phenomenon.
So you just got what you like when your kids turn like 13 or whatever the age you deem for book one, you launch like a friend group book club where you're like, you and all your girlfriends should read Harry Potter and we'll come over
and
talk.
Then wait a year.
I yeah, know, that's exactly. the thing. It's the like, I'll probably have to like, the thing is there's awareness so much younger. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think people will always read Harry Potter. But
I think so too. I mean, I read Lord of the Rings and, you know, that's yeah, like exactly. 20 years. Yeah. And I was like dying to be able to like handle it mentally. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I was like at 14, I was like, fuck, I'm going to read Lord of the Rings and be so proud. Like when I moved into my parents' house, I found The Stand, Stephen King's The Stand moved into my parents' house. That makes no sense. when me and my family moved to the house my mom now lives in, I found The Stand in my closet of the room that was going to be mine. And I was like 13 years old and The Stand was like 1,000 pages. And I'm like, it was the beginning of the summer. I was like, I'm going to read this summer. And I was like, just dove in. And I was like, I was a smart kid, but I was like, I read all 1,000 pages. And I was like, I don't know if I really knew what was happening in this book. Like, and I was like, but I'm so proud I did that. And like, I could imagine kids. I'm off on a tangent here.
No,
I want to circle back to, that must be such an amazing feeling too. That's like a nerd thing too, is like to eventually pass on to your kids like the fandom of like, I gotta show you Big Trouble in Little China. Like, I can't wait to show my kid Big Trouble in Little China when they're like 12.
I mean, the things that I would want my kids to care about are like Harry Potter, Christmas, Disneyland.
Christmas is gonna be a real hard sell.
And musicals.
Yeah, these all sound like they may work out in your
yeah
favor.
No, of course they will. I'm just saying like I have like a pretty easy road, like yeah. I'm not trying to like sway them on anything hard.
I don't
but
need to like my kids to be like, listen, you gotta listen to August and Anything After by Counting Crows. Because I mean, I'll like it if you like
you
it.
You have like Chuck Klosterman as like a 9-year-old boy. Well, to be honest, Mr. Jones is one of the best songs right here. You can see why.
I mean, it is.
Zach loves Counting Crows.
I unironically love the Counting Crows. We're not here to talk about that.
No, I know we got to have you back on, though.
Yeah. Everyone's dying for my hot takes on recovering the satellites.
they should do a spinoff episode called Counting Crows, where Zach just talks about counting crows and you talk about your crow. Welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have
and,
one crow.
And Brandon Lee's mummified corpse that I have here in my house.
Oh, yeah.
two big collector items.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Also, maybe while we're pitching why you guys maybe were so... Harry Potter might be harder for the generation younger than you guys because you're on the Harry Potter... kind of missed like streaming phone games. Like,
yes.
They weren't so huge. I mean, they were coming up. Like, I think I had like a fucking smartphone when I was reading Harry Potter, but it's not like kids can just like go on. YouTube wasn't huge, like rabbit hole of things. And I feel like a book has got way more
competition.
Competition
now.
Is the
yeah,
word.
For
yeah,
for sure.
For your
I mean,
attention.
Thankfully, I mean, it's also like, cell phones obviously existed, so there's like moments where you're like, just why don't they just call Sirius Black and see if he's alive?
Right, right.
And they
right.
just like don't have, you know, they don't have technology because it's 1995 when that's happening.
Right, right.
I mean, they have phones exist, but they don't have cell phones. But like, there isn't really a lot of conversation around like what technology would do to the magical world, which is like kind of interesting.
Other than you have Arthur Weasley, who's like kind of into it, and the rest of the wizarding world is kind of like, we don't need this. Why are you interested in this? They kind of just, I mean, if you have magic, technology doesn't get invented.
Right.
You just don't need it.
Right. Technology is just what we like create to solve problems. But also, though, there's no way an owl or a Patronus message is as efficient as a text message. You know, eventually,
yeah, you're right. Like,
eventually, you get to the point where you're like, well, we should at least text each other.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
yeah. when Hogwarts, you know, in terms of like weaponry, like if the U.S. decides to nuke Hogwarts, like fuck magic, like you're gone.
It's right.
Yeah, those like knights coming to life will not be enough.
Will not be enough.
Ned I. Moody at hogwarts.edu. We have bad news.
You are Barty Crouch Jr.
It is one of those things where like this is a movie writing thing too. The like cell phones just ruin so many good plots.
Yeah.
Especially like horror movies. And like, you know, now you find like movies have to do some gymnastics to get you to.
Oh,
be
the
like,
cell phone towers are down.
Yeah, it's like the zombies had an EMP. It's like, you know, it's like justifying the most random shit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, everyone put your cell phones in this bag. That's way the only. Oh, no, the bag fell into the volcano.
I don't remember. Do they deal with. They don't talk about any of this in Cursed Child, do they?
Now, which one? That's the play.
Cursed
Child
is the play.
And it is a.
Takes place
epilogue,
after
epilogue. It takes place.
It takes place in 2017 is the setting for the All Is Well epilogue of the seventh book.
So it's after, and it's after that.
So it's right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's
and it takes place at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Because the beginning
and in and around Hogwarts.
Because
yeah.
Harry's first kid is going to Hogwarts at the begin. No, that's
second
not right.
Kid.
Second kid is going to Hogwarts. The very it comes right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Wait, so the epilogue on book 7 is Harry Potter's second child is now going? And who did he end up marrying?
Ginny Weasley.
Oh,
Harry's,
thank God.
Something that J.K. Rowling has allegedly talked on the internet about how she wishes he had ended up with Hermione.
I know, I wish she wouldn't do that. I wish she wouldn't, like, backtrack on decisions
like,
that she made.
Like, her own books.
Especially since she lays so much pipe for Ron and Hermione to be good. Like, that goes back...
Right, and it's
so late, like
but
so
also
early.
It's very cool to me. I thought when Harry starts getting interested in Ginny in the books, I was like, it's very cool to me. I'm reading it as a little older. I'm like, it's very cool to me that this book is like so pro Harry having a great girlfriend. That's not a romantic, like a friend that's a woman.
Yeah,
yeah,
yes,
and it's
exactly.
Like
that's her like saying such- she should end with Hermione is just like, yeah, okay, but a guy and a girl can be friends and have like a.
Right.
Platonic friendship.
For exactly, sure. I mean, if yeah. the argument, like, is Hermione cooler than Ginny, the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But I don't think she is. I think Ginny, we also are only, our only perspective.
That's what I mean. Is, we hear more about Hermione.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, well, in book 6, Harry does that whole thing about how he loves red hair and red pubic hair and stuff like that. So that's completely reasonable.
But
he's like, ooh, man, I'm like a 3/4 blood prince at this point.
I do remember the scene where he said that. I remember reading that and being like, this is a weird turn for Harry.
I mean, I'm like, this is not going to be like an exact quote, but she did give an interview once where she was like, listen, our kids like hooking up at Hogwarts for sure. That's just like not the story I'm writing. Like, right. I'm not writing a story about like, and then the twist is like Hermione has like a teen pregnancy. Like, right. It's just not the story. Like, I'm trying to be honest about like hormones and emotions and things like that and implicit like stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
because
if you had to write that like, if you had to like bring that in, it would be chapters of like all dude dorms just cranking. Like, yeah. You'd just be like, and of course the Weasley twins were jerking off again. Like, and then Harry went into the bathroom late at night to go talk to the who's the water woman or whatever.
Moaning Myrtle. Myrtle.
Yeah, to talk to whatever. It's like, and everyone
there.
In there, everyone's in there cranking down.
I mean,
using a scrying mirror to crank down. Like, everyone would just be using magic to beat
the
off
the room of requirement.
Yes.
Would have been a sex dungeon.
Absolutely.
Every other time.
Absolutely.
It would have been so much. It would have been like dudes stumbling over themselves to like interact with the female, and like gay, it would have been a gay paradise, or like, sure. You're like locked off in a dorm with just a bunch of other male wizards just go ape shit on each.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people feel that Scorpius and Albus Severus Potter in The Cursed Child should have been a gay relationship.
Aren't they like 13?
Well, you like watch them. I mean, you could know you're gay at 13.
No, for sure. But I think that there's a lot of kids that don't, that like aren't sex. Well,
they just have like sort of an obsessive friendship in a way that like suggests that they could potentially have romantic feelings.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what Harry and Hermione were too, right? And then sort of like
Harry and Hermione never had suggestion of romance,
right? But they were so tight.
They were so tight. Yeah.
You, I would say, if you were in book three, you would think that he would end up with Hermione at some point.
Because they go off and save Sirius together?
I don't know exactly why, but I'm like, just the two of them are given so much. Just like from story, like learn, just from pure story perspective. Yes. You're reading it, you're like, oh, these two are going to end up together. The female protagonist and the male protagonist.
That's part
leads.
Of that, and I think that is part of the narrative of like, whenever we see a guy and he is with a girl,
right,
and they're like
exactly.
on an adventure, they're going to end up in love. Which I
and
think
that's why I like
true.
That. It's like Ginny gets, it comes out later and you're like,
I think some of that was balancing. Hermione gets petrified in Chamber of Secrets, so it's Harry and Ron together, and then so they kind of flip it for Azkaban, where like Ron gets hurt, and so then Harry and Hermione get to do the final leg together. It feels a little like, oh, he has two best friends.
That's character development.
We get both of them. But yeah, I mean, I as someone who's always had guy friends, I like loved that.
Right. That's
and
gotta, yeah.
To answer your question from, I don't know, an eternity ago, I loved Hermione when I was first reading the books. Like, I identified with her so intensely. And I, when they put out the audition call for the movies, I was so sad that I was A year too old, and B, not British. And my friend Kyle Sheldon and I, who used to do plays, but then he moved back to Texas, we got on the phone with each other and we're reading passages of the book to see if we could have convincing enough British accents.
Oh my God.
Because I like wanted to be her so bad. And I also wasn't really a reader. I never read for fun, even though I was like a good student. So it was like over winter break or spring break or something, and I read the first book in like 2 days, and I just could not stop talking to my mom about like, this is girl in the book, and she's like just like me. She like raises her hand all the time and gets so frustrated when she doesn't get called on. It's like, why aren't you calling on me? And she's like his friend, and she's like annoying at first, but she's really cool and like helps save him. Like, she has to do like a logic puzzle with bottles of poison to like get through to get the Sorcerer's Stone. And you know, I love those logic puzzles.
And your mom's like, oh, like making a screwdriver while you just like rant at her. She's like, oh, Jess, we need to get you into mock trial.
I think though, as it went on, I think like, honestly, I love Harry. Like,
it makes total sense. Like, how do you not relate to the main character who's like been through some shit, handles things well? You're in his brain for a lot of it. So
yeah, I remember, I mean, I mean, as like a dude reading the books, Harry is the one that you're supposed to relate to from the beginning. And probably as a girl too. But reading it, I was so into it. And then book five rolls around, and like the weight of Harry's, like the stuff that has happened to him, like the death and the... and then just the kind of like the weight of this responsibility like finally hits him. He's like old enough to finally start to deal with it, and he's just a real shit for most of that book.
Yeah, I remember her now being like, you're turned off by
and
him,
you get furious with him. Yeah. And it was weird being
because
like,
he's like kind of like turns into angsty. He's like,
he can't control his temper, and he keeps making his like, he makes things even harder for himself by like like running his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is the moment where like Ron gets a little bit dumb too, and Hermione is really the only one who like still has her shit together.
Yeah,
and that was that. I think I always liked Hermione up to that point, but when Harry goes bad,
yeah,
like Hermione is like the rock for the series at that point.
She's definitely like one of the most constant forces in the book. I mean, you know, Ron straight up leaves. I sort of feel like in the end, I wish she was a little nicer to Ron because he is like still so loyal and like he is in such a hard position, both with his family and now he's his best friend is like the chosen one. He's worried that the girl he's falling in love with is always gonna like him better.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean like he's literally amongst a family of wizards. His best friend is the best wizard. The girl he likes is the most intelligent wizard. Like yeah. It's like he's like, and I'm just this goofy redhead guy.
Yeah, like
I'm pretty good at stuff though. Yeah.
I mean then like
I wish Harry would have sucked at Quidditch. Like, why couldn't he have also, like that would have been, I know it's supposed to be, like, but, like, it made him, like.
He's good. He is good at everything.
Right.
If he was a female character, the internet would have fucking exploded. They would have been, like.
Right. They would have been, like.
How is he so good at, this is ridiculous.
What's it called? Mary suing or something like that.
No one bats an eye if it's a guy, but Harry is absolutely that.
Yeah. I guess so, but he's. As I'm currently doing my re-listen to the later books every fall, I re-listen to them. I'm almost done with six right now.
That's so awesome. Do you get anything new out of it or is it feel like home listening to it? Like what is it?
When I first, this is like the fourth year I've done this. And the first time I did it, I got a lot of stuff. I like totally forgot things, you know, smaller points of the mysteries and like things that are things that are different from the movie where then
you just saying it now made me like, I was like, oh, I should probably re-listen. It's been like 10 years since
it's been 10 years since I've read it. And I read them all up. Like when a new one would come out, you would read all the ones right before that.
Oh, you would like, so you read it in like,
so
rounds,
I've read one,
kind of like,
I've read one like a ton of times and the last one once, and I haven't gone back and listened.
So
to
like
it.
When seven was coming out, you'd read 1 through 6 again.
Well, I was so sad. I mean, we'll get back because I interrupted Jess.
No.
I interrupted.
I was so sad when the last one came out and I was like, I want to read through these all again right now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait so I can forget stuff. So it's like a little bit fresh when it comes back.
Nice.
I will also say that now I've been thinking about what I just said about Harry and I think he's actually not good at everything. I want to walk that back a little bit.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. He's not good at school. He's not a good student. Like he is really, right. really good at Defense Against the Dark Arts, but he can never. He like doesn't master other spells easily. He's like, as a student, he's good. Like he'd be like the student who's in like AP History. You know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, he's like obviously smart. And yeah.
That's why I related to Harry is because that's how I felt. I was right. like, I kind of know this, but I'm not going to do any of the shit.
Yeah,
they
or
want
it's like, if you have that interest in that one subject, then that really lets your intelligence shine.
Yeah.
But you're not like driven enough or intellectually curious enough to apply that same skill and attention to everything.
Like Hermione's AP everything.
Yes, exactly. And like, ultimately, actually, him and Ron on paper get almost the same grades all the time, except for Defense Against the Dark Arts. It's the only thing that he outshines Ron in grades.
Oh, is that what your report card tattoo on your bicep is?
Yeah, sorry. He only beat Ron once.
Now I totally get it.
Yeah, so just compares their OWLs.
And Ron is actually good at Quidditch, too, when he's not freaking out.
Yeah, he eventually gets to be good.
He's the keeper, right?
We were just talking about how Quidditch is...
Stupid.
A stupid, stupid... Like, the math of Quidditch as a sport is really terrible.
Because there should be no sport where one thing is the instant win. Like, that just doesn't, like... That's not exciting in sports.
Right.
The strategy doesn't make sense.
Why do anything except go after the snitch?
Well, not only that, but like, let's say, okay, so snitch is worth 150. Every goal from the Quaffle is worth 10, right? So let's say that you're winning. Then you want to catch this. You still have to catch the snitch to win.
Right.
There is no scenario in which you can just, because like, let's say you've scored 14 goals.
Right. Yeah.
You still have to catch the snitch for the game to end.
Yeah, I think
and
like
that's 290-0.
And the other person has caught nothing.
Yeah.
If you catch it twice and you still can catch the snitch, like, I guess that would make sense. But then it's like, why would you even bother scoring?
No, I was saying this to Zach. It's like she threw it out there and then didn't realize what like a huge part of the world it would become, and then she was like, oh, no.
And then I think once they started making the movies, they were probably like, hey, can you put more Quidditch shit in the books? Or, you know, chicken egg, whatever it was, but like, the second you start making the movies, you're like, oh, Quidditch is going to be the coolest
part.
It
looks cool. Yeah, yeah. The thing that I will say, the little bit of like backtracking she's able to do is that point differences matter. So right. like in tournament scoring, right. you can't win unless your victory is by enough, which I think like puts back a little strategy right, on right, what the right. Chasers are doing and makes a Seeker have to weigh, even if I see the Snitch now, should I get it? Here's another thing as I'm re-listening to Six right now. They only play three games. Each team only plays, they just play the other house
the
once.
The other three teams.
So they have all these practices to play three games in the whole year, which is an insane.
Oh, right, because they're not playing other schools.
No, they're just.
Because we don't know that there's other magic schools, or do you in the Harry
Potter?
You
know in book four, because the other two of the schools come visit for the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah, you can also kind of infer, because they talk a lot like, it's the greatest wizarding school in all of Britain, is said a lot.
Yeah, right.
We were talking about this earlier. There's definitely one in
New York.
That's where it is, right? It's in
I think it's in
New
like
York. No, it's in
Massachusetts. I don't know.
I feel like in they mention it in
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah,
they it's do. Definitely in the Northeast.
It's
called,
in the U.S.
It's called right? Ilvermorny.
Yeah,
it's called what?
Ilvermorny.
it's the first American school. There's a Quidditch team in Salem, but there's not a school in Salem.
That's so interesting.
I mean, they have Quidditch teams. Like they have like a Premier League of Quidditch teams. So then there's like. Professional Quidditch, there's right. a bunch of teams. You right. know, the
Where
Chudley
like,
Cannons
the
or...
people go on to play
yeah,
after
Hollyhock, whatever.
Hollyhead Harpies.
Yeah. There's like other teams, but the school Quidditch makes no sense, especially for how much they practice.
No.
Like if you were on a sports team and you played three games.
And you only played your classmates. Like yeah. you only played scrimmages. Those are just scrimmages.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's like that weird... school what are they called, Gryffindor, what are they, those are called schools,
houses.
There's like that weird house rivalry, but that doesn't like that's not exciting to play your own school.
Here's the other thing, it would be like if the equipment is also such like an integral part of how good your team is.
It right, would, and that's kind of bullshit that like brooms, like you can buy
it
better.
It would be like if one baseball team was allowed to use aluminum bats and everyone else wasn't. It's right. like that's insane.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. My now husband, when we were first dating, had never read any of them, and he sort of read them as like
as a rite of passage,
as like
like most relationships,
a sign
like,
of affection, I guess.
Classic
like,
tradition states you ask the father of the bride for her hand, unless of course it's Jess, in which case you have to read all seven books,
yes.
and then and figure out what kind of ring I want.
Strongly suggested that my now wife read them.
Strongly suggested.
This would be great.
I didn't tell her to read them. I said it would be great for me if you would read these books.
Yeah. We would talk 20% more if
yes.
you read this.
We had not been dating that long when he read them, but it took. I was like, same thing like for we've said before. Like once we got into like three and beyond, he was like, oh no, these are good. This
yeah,
is interesting.
Yeah.
And he was like, although he thought like things in the first book were like compelling, like you know, getting emotional over like an orphan boy seeing in the mirror of Erised that the only thing he would want is his parents. That like that stuff is really moving and
yeah, it's,
and
it's
heartbreaking.
Heavy duty,
yeah.
But he was
good.
Like, Quidditch is. Ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to defend Quidditch at all. Like, it's sort of, it's fun. There's like fun world building there. It's like fun to know that, like, the Snitch is like a fun, magical object. And,
right.
But, you know, I'm not going to, I'm not going to defend
yeah.
Quidditch.
Fantasy sports is cool. And also, Jess and I did shows in Edinburgh, Scotland a couple years back, and that's where J.K. Rowling was when she was writing it. And it's largely believed that the kind of like visual. The visuals of Hogwarts is based off of Edinburgh Castle. And a lot of the time of the year, there is a giant arena set up next to the Edinburgh Castle for the Edinburgh Tattoo, which is like this huge Scottish military parade. It's a crazy show. Military parade doesn't really quite describe what it is. It's insane. There's like fireworks that come out of the side of the castle, and it's really cool and really expensive.
But they'll beat a tattoo at 22 with a rat tat 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 tattoo.
It's a tattoo. And then Dragon
Andrew
will come
when
he
hears
the
drum in a minute or two. Told you today.
It's a good
vocal
warm-up from theater.
Oh, yes. Theater, of course, something I do as well.
Yeah, but
my theater started at UCB, so I have such a specific take on what theater is. Like, I never did anything before UCB.
Oh, man.
That's wild.
That's wild.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I know.
Someone else was telling me this, and I was literally like, not about you, like someone else who had like that same experience, and I was like, why'd you do this?
If I've been coaching you on an improv team, you would be one of those people that I have to be like, No, I know they're behind you. You have to face the fucking audience.
Yeah, I'd be like, but they're right here. Yeah, like, but wouldn't it look weird if I was standing out there? I know. I think I just was a comedy nerd. And then I tried to take acting classes as I'm a bad actor. And I've been doing this now for 10 years. I take acting classes and I'm like, I hate this. I hate everyone in this class. I hate all of my classmates. I need like, I'm never going
to
work.
You got to be in a certain mental space to get done with acting classes.
Mm-hmm. Like I think I need, and I'm not a closed-minded person. I'm very like, maybe I am a little bit. I'm more of a, I have to make comments all the time. But I can really let myself go into like a hippy dippy new age kind of vibe, and acting is still like acting classes are still a little too far for me, and I think a lot of it is ruined not by the curriculum but by my classmates.
Yeah,
like the people in acting classes now that I'm in Los Angeles kind of like stress.
Yeah,
me
I think
out
that's probably like a different grouping than like we're all in like a college environment.
Right, right, right.
You're probably dealing with some hot dum dums.
Yeah, a lot of hot dum-dums. I have like a very specific archetype of male actor that I've had like in a lot of classes, and they're like tall, relatively handsome, relatively clean cut, like just the right amount of stubble. Everyone wears like a solid print V-neck and like $250 jeans.
Yeah.
And kind of stands like this in all of their scenes. And like
for the listener, he has a great posture.
Yeah, it's
just
like that
out.
Sort of like full, I don't have scoliosis, I have definition stance.
Yeah.
And a lot of like, you know, they all want to do scenes where they yell or like push a woman or something like that.
It's a lot of that in theater.
Yeah.
For real.
Wait, so what character did you... I know we said... But were there any other side characters? Well, real quick side story is I didn't see the first movie until I had finished like the fourth book or whatever.
I'm sure
that's true for a lot of people because they just didn't come out that way. But when I first saw the first movie, it was when I found out that it's Hermione and not Hermione.
Yeah.
Like
I said her name wrong. I said McGonagall's name wrong. I don't even remember what I was saying. Her, McGonagall, Dumbledore, and I think...
Wait, how'd you say Dumbledore?
I don't know. It was one of the things. I never said it out loud.
Right, yeah, so I know. I know that exact never, thing, yeah.
I like assumed there were like more L's and a couple more M's in it. I said Jenny's name wrong, too.
Ginny?
Yeah, I think I called her Ginny.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's the character I play in the Harry Potter universe. Hey, it's me, Ginny Weasley. Get over here, you fuck. You want a couple of butterbeers? Hey, I got a Nimbus 2000. Fell off a truck. Don't ask any questions.
Man, that was pretty... Those were good Harry Potter specifics.
Well, here's the thing. I did read all the books, but I also have been at UCB for a while. So, like, right. I can maintain a certain level of specifics just from being around scenes and bits like that.
Oh, just to loop back real quick. Because there is that like arena erected for the Edinburgh Tattoo, it looks like there's a giant stadium outside of Edinburgh Castle all the time.
And some people think that's
influenced, like, oh, there should be a wizard sport.
That makes sense. There. And if you like, if people are playing hurling at all in Scotland, that looks like Quidditch.
Yeah.
Because that's like a stick sport. That's like it's kind of like the brutal field hockey, but it's like a Celtic UK sport. So it could look like arguably like Quidditch as well. Were there any side characters you guys related to? Because I remember reading the books, I loved Hagrid because he was like the weird woodsy animal guy. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I liked that he was like a giant bearded freak for some reason. And then then like when I saw the first movie, I was like, oh man, that's who I am. But how does Hagrid end? Does he like have a good ending or a bad ending?
No, he's okay. Good.
He's good.
He's great.
Yeah. He doesn't molest Harry. Am I remembering something else? Am I projecting?
He does not.
Does not molest Harry.
Not in the time that we hear.
Okay, but there are theories, right?
Oh my gosh, I'm sure you can find anything.
Check out Pottermore.
A cabin in the woods. Kicked out of Hogwarts. No one knows why. We do know why.
Why did he get kicked out? What was the one?
He got raisin accused spiders. Of opening the Chamber of Secrets.
Right.
There's a bunch of deaths.
There's one death. Moaning Myrtle.
Just Moaning Myrtle. Hey, thanks.
Hey, no
for
problem.
Having listened to it more recently.
We're home.
And so, welcome home. They think
welcome
it,
home.
They
ooh, when someone else says it, it makes me feel like I'm a nerd.
Tom Riddle opens up the Chamber of Secrets, real monster, which is a basilisk,
right.
But he's able to frame Hagrid for the death of Moaning Myrtle by showing that he's raising a giant spider.
Oh,
which
okay,
is the
okay.
giant spiders that are running around in the Forbidden Forest.
Aragog.
Yes. There we go.
All
my questions have been answered.
Yeah. I really like Lupin, and I feel...
I was going to say Lupin.
I feel like a little
is
sad.
Is Lupin the one who can turn to werewolf?
Lupin's the werewolf.
But Sirius Black is also a werewolf?
So all of Lupin's three friends all become animagus to become animals so that they can chill with him when he is a wolf.
So that's Harry's dad becomes a stag, becomes a deer.
Oh, right. That's why that's his Patronus.
Yeah.
Sirius Black becomes a dog and Peter
Pettigrew. Oh, a dog, right. That's what it was.
Yeah, Peter Pettigrew
becomes a rat. Because why wouldn't you choose a fucking rat if you could choose an animal to turn into?
Is it sort of like a Patronus where you're not in control necessarily?
That's a bummer.
I would be really pissed if my friends were a wolf, a dog, a stag,
and I'm a dolphin. I can't fucking go anywhere.
You just instantly die. You're like, I did it. You become a dolphin.
Dolphins
on land.
Are mammals. They just wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
That's
no,
because
like Rita Skeeter's a beetle, and you get why it would make sense for her to want to do that as like a sneaky reporter. But like as a kid, you would never be like, I want to be a beetle.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I mean, but it's also not that common.
What are the choices? Wolf. I'll do beetle.
You're right, it is not that common.
I don't know. I don't know that it's ever explicitly stated. It's probably on Pottermore somewhere.
It is one of those things that like, you figure, like, I always assumed that Hermione would figure it at one point, just because it was like a thing that she, Hermione, you know, reads all books and learns all magic that is available.
Yeah. What about Lupin? Why did you like Lupin?
Well, Sirius becomes like the flashy character of being like, James Potter's best friend. So like, I mean, he obviously starts off, we think that he's a bad guy, and then we could discover that he's good and wrongfully accused and is Harry's godfather. But he's so broke. I mean, they're all kind of broken, but Sirius is like so broken. I like him. He's a great character, but he's like kind of sad, you know, and like, and Lupin really actually has like more time with Harry and like teaches him things. And he has,
do you know,
to,
the French word for wolf, by the way, is loup, L-O-U-P.
Yeah, I think that was probably in the nominative symbolism.
I would
section.
Imagine, yeah.
Voldemort means like to kill death.
Oh shit.
Because Mort,
death eater.
Yeah, death eater. Yeah. And
Mort, yeah, mortuary, mort, yeah.
I see
post-mortem.
People getting the Death Eater tattoo. That blows my mind.
I don't even understand people getting the Deathly Hallows symbol, except for that it looks like a cool, not that dorky of a tattoo. It could just be shapes, but like to seek the Deathly Hallows is to be like obsessed with power.
Yeah, for sure. But and that's weird. But like weirder than that is like,
yes,
let me put the wizard equivalent of the KKK on
my arm. Like a swastika.
Like a swastika.
Yeah, the ISIS symbol.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I get why Hot Topic wants to put it on shirts. It's very much
or temp tattoos.
Yeah, but like, you have to just get the H lightning bolt P. Like, that's the only thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you have just the lightning bolt?
I think if I were to get a Harry Potter tattoo, it would be a lightning bolt, because I think that's...
On your forehead?
Hey, I'm married.
On your forehead, or you're not a real fan.
That's right.
Imagine going out for auditions and being like,
you can cover this. Hey, don't worry, you can cover this.
You have like a lightning bolt on your head.
I'll just get bangs. I'll get a lightning bolt.
Get like Zoe Deschanel bangs to brush away and reveal you're a wizard.
I picture you with
that. I like that that's a bigger thing for you to
do. Yeah, bangs is weirder than
you
a
have bangs. Tattoo, Harry Potter tattoo, I can totally see.
Your hair would get matted under your backwards hat. But Lupin like actually teaches him stuff, and I think that he has like an interesting position, and one that I feel like I've seen in friend groups, which is like the person who isn't part of the best friend duo but is like the third friend.
Yeah.
And not like in the way that Harry, Ron, and Hermione are a true like trio, but like James and Sirius are like do or die blood brothers, and then Lupin is like there too, but is like good at school and like wants to follow the rules a little bit more. And then Peter Pettigrew is just like a whiny hanger-on who betrays them.
Rat.
But Lupin has like this sort of like interesting thing where I feel like Harry doesn't even really give him credit for how close he also was to his dad.
Yeah. And he also maybe doesn't want it, which makes him cooler too. Is that he's not trying to play off as he's the best friend or
and
whatever.
He's dealing with this like real sad thing, and then his love story is like so sweet, and like the fact that like Tonks is just like obsessed with him and just like wants to be with him, and he's like, you can't be with me, I'm a mess. It's just very sweet.
What is the name for what Tonks is?
What's Tonks?
Nymphadora Tonks is one of the only not shithead Slytherins in the entire Harry Potter canon.
She's a Slytherin?
Yes. I'm pretty sure. I gotta check. I'm almost positive.
Zach is a Slytherin.
Yeah.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, and you're okay with this?
Yeah.
Or has Jess forcefully sorted you there?
No.
Pottermore sorted me there.
What
every fucking time.
What makes you think what about you makes you a Slytherin?
That's tricky. And
is it your dark features?
Well, I think it's my dark features. No, I mean, by book canon, I should have bleached blonde hair.
Right.
Yeah.
The book, I mean, like, the books are a little bit weird about it because the books are from a Gryffindor perspective, and Slytherin is the house with the most complicated history, although, like, let's say racist, supremacist history. But, like, you got to figure a fourth of the wizarding population of Britain goes through that house.
Right, right.
So, like, you don't meet the ones that are, like, normal or good.
Right. Yeah.
Also, J.K. Rowling has done a weird...
Yeah, because, like, in the SS, there's, like, a bunch of guys who are just good soldiers.
That's
hanging.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
There's good guys
That's
on all
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, people you can directly quote me as...
Yes. But no, like, the Slytherins you meet are, like, Draco and Crabbe and Goyle. There's nothing Slytherin-y about Crabbe and Goyle. They're fucking, like...
Dumb meatheads.
They're dumb, like, little golems
followers.
Walking
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
But the books are written from, like, a Gryffindor perspective, so you get a bunch of people that don't seem like they should be in Gryffindor in Gryffindor.
Right.
My argument has
to
always...
To help differentiate, just
yeah,
so you can have
I mean,
some, like,
my argument is that, like, if you really want to, like, sort them in a boring kind of arbitrary way, like, Harry is a Gryffindor, Hermione is a Ravenclaw... because she's super smart. Ron is a Hufflepuff, and Fred and George are what not racist Slytherins would be like.
Right, like kind of like chaos agents.
Which is not, which is not to say that like Hermione isn't a Gryffindor. She absolutely is. It's which is to say the houses are like complicated, and we only ever see Slytherins who are racist.
So what are the positive Slytherin attributes?
All the same stuff that's positive about Gryffindor. They get decided as like two sides of the same coin all the time.
Right.
They are
just a little more. Easily succumb to power or wanting power.
I think
power.
Because like their drive gets more characterized as ambitious, and I think like we know that ambition can sometimes have a dark pull.
Right, but sometimes
but
it doesn't.
But sometimes it doesn't. It mean, just means
just
you're driven and focused
driven person.
I've seen the argument that like both of them are about Gryffindor and Slytherin are both about results. Slytherin cares a little bit less about the way that you get the results. It's more about
and
like,
justifies the
and
means.
Justifies the means. And Gryffindors are like kind of more concerned with what people think about you than is maybe useful. Like sometimes to the detriment of the goal.
They definitely are both seeking glory.
Yes.
Like, but Gryffindors are maybe more likely to like be okay dying. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And
die for the cause.
And might even have a negative, like, martyr complex of, like, I'd love to die for the cause.
And so there's like, no, we don't, no one needs to, no one should die. That defeats the purpose if we, if
yes.
we die.
So everyone's like, no, let's let the people who oppose us or the whatever opposes us die before us.
But Zach and I are in the same Ilvermorny house.
That's true. We're both in the same American Hogwarts house.
Wait, because the Pottermore swords, and do
it
they have different
now.
Names too?
Yeah, there's,
We're in
Thunderbird. But there's also Puckwudgie, the horned serpent, and it's that cat that starts with a W. Wampus cat?
Yeah. Wampus.
Oh, it's a weird, like, six-legged panther. It's a very cool.
Oh, cool. Like, it, or if it was D&D, it would be a displacer beast.
It's a displacer beast. It's straight up a displacer beast.
So where would I go? What house would I be in? I always thought Hufflepuff because... They were like the least academic, is what I remember.
Here's the thing, and here's where the sorting gets skewed. There are only two houses that really like. Most actors go Slytherin or Gryffindor because those are the houses that don't have like weird social hangups.
Right.
Like Ravenclaw's something that I always when I first read the rhyme was like, oh, creativity and wit is a Ravenclaw thing. But then when you kind of get into it more, wit doesn't mean comedy. Wit means
like intelligence.
Brain.
So
yeah,
I thought
brain.
I was a Ravenclaw all growing up. Ravenclaw was like the house that I associated with.
Oh. God, what a letdown when Pottermore
sorted you. But you know, the
you.
Hat takes your thoughts into consideration. So if you really wanted to be a Ravenclaw, you probably would have been
probably
a Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're probably a Gryffindor, Gabrus.
Yeah?
I'd agree with that.
Because I think you're too bold to be a Hufflepuff.
Oh, are they sort of like wallflowery?
No, they're not wallflowery, but I think that they're more like, I don't think a Hufflepuff does improv like you do improv.
I think it might. I think
I'm probably a muggle. I'm probably have wizard blood, and when I show up there, they're like, let's just tell him he's a muggle. He'll just go back to fucking working at the kebab cart. I don't know why I work at a kebab cart in this world, but
I mean,
that's my second job after wizard.
Hufflepuffs pursue happiness in a way that the other houses don't.
Okay. I could see myself
in a way that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that vibe.
But I don't think you're not like, I don't know. I don't think Hufflepuffs are simple, but I think that they would be more likely to have like simple worldviews.
Yeah.
Not unintelligent, but just like, it is what it is.
Right.
And I don't really think that of you.
Yeah, no, I don't have that. are you Gryffindor?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is another problem of
also, we dress the same, so we're both Gryffindors.
Yeah, we have to be. We're on the same Quidditch team. I played Quidditch at USC I did this short-lived web series called John versus College, where I went to colleges and did collegey things at like the age of 30.
Were That's you John?
Awesome. Yeah, I was the titular John. I went to Texas Tech and I went to Texas A&M and went to a tailgate. I went to USC and marched with the marching band and learned like the steps and stuff like that. And then I played Quidditch with the USC Quidditch team.
It was
brutal. I thought I was gonna have a heart attack. I swear to God, because it's just like lacrosse, but you have to hold the stick in between
that,
your legs.
That part makes me so angry.
It's so like, unnecessary.
It's so dumb. Like
it is dangerous. I have a fucking stick next to my dick while I'm running around. It's like this could go anywhere.
Also, why would like that's not a fun thing to
do? Wait, the dick or the stick?
Yeah, I gotta get rid of this dick. It's killing me.
It's getting in the way of the stick between my legs.
This thing could go anywhere. Trust me. At its size, it could fit anywhere. There we go. Well, we might as well end on that exact moment, that huge moment there. But guys, thanks for coming on talking to me about Harry Potter. Before we get into your actual plugs, here's one Harry Potter question I wanted to ask you guys. If you could either work on or bring into existence a Harry Potter IP, like we talked about, you know, like in the vein of like a prequel or a side story, or imagine the Harry Potter extended universe is like launched and 20 movies are launched. Like, what would be the movie or the book you guys individually or together would really want to see?
Would want to see.
Yeah, see or read, like, or want to exist.
I think I'd want to see the founders, because I think we've like the four founders of Hogwarts,
and because they're allegedly each one of the schools, right?
Yeah. So Godric people? Gryffindor, Rowena Ravenclaw, Helga Hufflepuff, and Salazar Slytherin. They all have
alliterative names, of course.
And just to like place this in time for you, J.K. Rowling kind of like retconned the fantasy universe and sorted like Merlin is a Slytherin. So like you got to figure it's before then.
Oh shit. So it's pre-Arthurian legend. These four people exist.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we're looking at like 11th century, 12th century.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
I don't know exactly, but
I think that because we've heard some people, I think it would be fun to see Harry's parents at school. It'd be fun to see like a Marauders movie. But I think we've heard a lot about like what their time was like.
A Marauders movie, that would be fun. That's like the good guy group of like rebels.
Yeah, that's James Sirius, Lupin, and Peter Pettigrew.
Oh, that would be awesome. Like I just pictured like Grease in my head for some reason. They're like of them are like, hey, tell me more.
It would be fun to watch their seventh year because Lily hates James for all of school and then eventually marries him. So like what is the turning seventh year. So it would be really fun, but I think we've heard a lot about it. We've heard less about like what early creation of the school would be like.
Oh, that's really fun. Yeah.
She's kind of getting into it now, but I am interested in what the hell American Hogwarts has been up to for all this time.
Yeah. And where are they? We need
where
them.
Where are they now?
Please.
In terms of like weird IP, I'm kind of shocked that they haven't developed a World of Warcraft style Harry Potter game.
It's crazy that there's not a MMORPG.
There's
from
one
Harry
called
Potter.
Wizards 101, which is basically being like, they're not going to make one. We should make something, but it's for kids and it's like a card based game.
Yeah, yeah. But it totally makes sense. There should be like,
it's nuts that like, it feels like, I know so many people that don't play video games that would be into that.
Right. And it makes it the IP. I can't believe it's not being. It has to be being developed, right?
I don't think so. It's been so long.
I would also be interested in like Zach and I dropping everything and just starting a Wizard Rock band.
Yep.
Because Wizard Rock was was like a real thing. I mean, I'm still sure some of these bands still play, but there was a time where like it was really exploding. It's all sort of like synthy, poppy, punky bands. Harry and the Potters, Draco and the Malfoys, like the Crookshanks Experience. There's like tons of wizard bands.
And they're sort of falling by the wayside a little
bit. I think
bit now.
Their moment was more like peak fandom. Yeah, they're more based around like when the books were still coming out.
Yeah, you got to be able to play a book launch party somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so that's why you're hoping that there's more IP to come.
Yeah,
so
those
you guys
really
get...
want those gigs to pop up again.
I mean, I'm going to watch all the Fantastic Beasts movies.
Yeah,
same here. And I watched the first one and I didn't even really like it.
I liked it. I'm going to watch them all just to see if that big thundery bird shows up again.
Oh, yeah.
I like him. I like beasts. Give me them beasts.
That big thunder bird was cool. I like a lot of the beasts in that book. I like the idea of it, like they sort of flesh out a little bit more of how it coexists with the real world that we didn't see as much in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was like really fun. Like, sort of like, although the mind wipe trope is like so. Like,
it's problematic.
It's so Deus Ex Machina. Like, also, too, where you're just like, oh, no, we can't get discovered. We got discovered. Okay, do this. You know, like, it's, but also, it's like fucked up, right? It's like date rape drugs.
Yeah.
I forgot a lot of stuff that happened last night.
Oh, yeah,
you're damn right, brother.
You just unlocked a whole dark territory of wizardry.
How long until there's like a Netflix series called The Hogwarts Teacher's Lounge and it's like just like a comedy, like a long take comedy from...
I mean, we're only one step away. I don't know if you've watched the Magicians series at all, but The Magicians was like, oh, we're sexy Harry Potter, and the books, that's kind of true. The series, that's really true.
It's all, like they lean in.
It's all they do is like drugs and sex and like weird pop culture references to things that are going on right
it's
now.
It's the Riverdale of...
it's like we're not far off. Like the show that you just pitched, someone is buying right now.
Please let me be in it.
I want to do the Young Hagrid Chronicles.
Oh, yes. Someone write this for Gabrus.
I'm going to do a one-man show, the Young Hagrid Chronicles. You guys have a new podcast? Well, relatively new podcast. I guess it's not that new anymore, but it's still hot. It's still fresh.
Hot off the presses.
Hot
off
pod press.
Pod press. Off Book, the Improvised Musical Podcast. We have on a guest and make up a brand new musical.
Sounds amazing.
You gotta be honest.
Truly terrifying to the core. If I do it, it will be the first time I've ever been nervous on a podcast in my entire life. So I'm very curious about doing it.
It'll be great.
I mean,
yeah.
Well,
I'm gonna try, obviously.
Yeah.
I have the power to say you can't put it out. No, I'm just kidding. Like I would ever. Like I have. I'm nerves about it, but I also have literally no shame or care what people think of me. So I'm riding a very specific line here.
I mean, this is just, you're just speaking such Gryffindor right now.
God damn it. I knew it. Where are you guys at on Twitter? So, because fans will yell at us about what I got wrong or how stupid it is about Harry Potter blank or whatever.
Yes. At Jess R. McKenna.
At Zach Reno. That's,
but there's an I in Reno.
R-E-I-N-O,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, dog. Your name is one, or earlier you said Hermione, you never said out loud. I realize I've never said your name.
Why would you? Why you go around talking about people's last names?
Yeah, I'm the only person who's like, if you refer to me without my last name, it doesn't make, you know what
because
I mean?
Because your first name is John.
Right, exactly. Like
there have been other Johns in your life.
Right,
you've
yeah.
needed to
There's
distinguish.
Been one lived in my house with me. My dad's name was John. My name was Jonathan. My mom didn't like the name John, named me Jonathan. I don't fully understand why she named me. I'm not Junior. I'm a completely... It's like having a... All right, never mind. Let's get... Fuck this. anything else you guys want to plug?
Nah.
Nah?
We out.
All right.
Give us 5 stars and say nice things about Gabrus.
No!
In our podcast reviews.
If you put a nice review of me on... I was going to call it Face Off. Off Book. Face Off. You guys have that hockey. I got it confused with your hockey shortly.
Yeah. We will, any nice reviews about Gabrus, we will sing on our podcast.
Guys, check out Off Book. Jess and Zach, thank you for coming on. And now I'm going to, I think, re-listen to some. Who reads them? JK?
Jim Dale.
Oh.
And it's incredible. And then I've also heard that Stephen Merchant does like the British version. Apparently, he's really great too.
Oh, I might read the British version.
The Jim Dale ones, he's won like Grammys and stuff for them because he does like distinct voices for every character and they're really good.
Oh, that's so
awesome.
So
that's, it is definitely at this point just like comfort food. It's just like a pleasant thing in my car.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I'm sorry Arthur puked directly in between you at minute one.
It was truly,
he had great aim.
It was truly very charming.
Never has vomit been cuter.
Oh, I beg to Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.